Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
We are starting with the rugby and the news that Leinster's Heineken Champions Cup last 16 tie with Toulon was called off this evening. To run you through the version of events that happened today, so it was meant for a 5:30 kickoff this evening. It was called off at around 12:30 this afternoon. It emerged a member of the Toulon squad had tested positive on Wednesday. The EPCR were notified of this at the time. Contact tracing began. Then Toulouse flew to Dublin yesterday. They had more tests. All of those came back negative. But it's been established that all other front row players, so it was a front row player that had tested positive in the Toulon squad, all other front row players were then deemed to be close contacts. So obviously they couldn't field a team with any front row players. There was a statement from the EPCR. I'll just read you that now. Following a meeting by video conference of a matchday medical risk assessment committee comprising of medical leads from the unions, the round of 16 match between Leinster and RC Toulon, which was scheduled for this evening at the RDS, was cancelled. The committee, which received independent medical advice from Dr. Brendan Payne and Dr. Daniel Koch, was informed that a Toulon player who did not travel to Ireland had tested positive for COVID-19 as part of their routine testing. Although the Toulon players and staff who had travelled undertook an additional round of PCR testing in Dublin yesterday revealed no positive results, the committee concluded there were a number of high-risk contacts with the player who had tested positive and deemed the match unsafe to play. Having been notified of that position, Toulon informed the EPCR that they could not select a matchday squad to safely fulfil the fixture, and having explored all positive alternative arrangements to facilitate the staging of the fixture, it was decided that the match could not be played safely given both the current public health guidelines in Ireland and the EPCR's COVID-19 protocol. A match result resolution committee will be convened as soon as is practicable to determine the outcome of the fixture. There was also a statement from Toulon, their president Bernard Lemaitre, labelling it disgusting and a scandal that this game was cancelled. Their statement says, the EPCR considered this Friday morning, this is translated from French, just to let you know, that all front lines, that's front rows, were considered as contact cases and that they could not take part in the match, offering the possibility of shifting the meeting on Sunday on condition of replacing the 6 frontline players, an obvious sporting impossibility. This is once again proof of the errors linked to the organisation of European competitions. The EPCR left the players and staff to go to Ireland, prepare for the match, only to deprive them a few hours before kickoff of participating in this major event. Rugby club Toulon strongly deplores the decision and sends its thoughts to all supporters who were awaiting this meeting. And it's also led this evening. He's reportedly threatening to further boycott any more EPCR competitions. Sergio Parise, Toulon's number 8, tweeted to say, we will see if we will all be united or not, followed by a French flag and the emoji for, I suppose, the band symbol with the red line going through it. Obviously calling for other French teams to follow suit. Johnny Murphy, apologies for keeping you waiting on that long introduction there, but I felt so sorry ringing you up this afternoon, I have to say, to lead this off, because when I asked you, did you want to do co-commentary with us for this Leinster and Toulon game just over a week ago, you nearly jumped out of the phone to say yes to me. So long had it been since you were at a game of rugby, and God, I felt like I was breaking your heart when I rang you up this afternoon to tell you it was called off.
Yeah, it was. There was a disappointing moment in the last 3 months, I can say. But I haven't been at kind of a live game for a while now. I suppose probably actually there was a couple of AIL games at the start, but commentating on a pro game, I probably haven't been at one for nearly March or February last year. So I was really looking forward to it, but look, it seems to be, and as things develop from when we spoke this morning, it seems to all have kind of got a bit messy. And there seems to be very much a dislike of how the PCR have handled this from a Toulon perspective. And I suppose you'd have to feel sorry for them in the respect that they've actually travelled and the PCR knew about the case. So it is all a bit late in the day and it's kind of just frustrating across the board. But there's plenty of warning shots being fired there in that statement from the Toulon president, which I suppose is would be a bit worrying given everything that has happened. And you look back at how we've got to this stage of the last two rounds being cancelled and we've got to this stage, particularly from the COVID guidelines of, you know, how the French viewed it. So it's just very frustrating all around.
Yeah, you'd have to wonder as well what the statement would have been like if Mourad Boujalal was still running the show at Toulon. He was never afraid of stoking up a few flames. But yeah, like disgusting and a scandal or two of the words used by their president, Bernard Lemaitre. And look, COVID has been something that's kind of been following them around with some of their games this season. They obviously had in the pool stages of the competition, they had their game against the Scarlets, which they boycotted and ended up having to give a 28-0 walkover to the Scarlets because they refused to play the game on account of the Scarlets having some COVID positive players. Their frustrations, as you kind of alluded to, are basically they informed the EPCR of this on Wednesday and they were still told to fly on Thursday. They got their tests and it's stemming from the fact that it's front row players that are being deemed as close contacts. So all six front row players that they would have brought are now deemed close contacts of the player who didn't even travel. The EPCR in their statement said that they'd looked at the possibility of playing this on another day. It appears Sunday was something they had spoken about. Toulon said it in their statement as well. Sunday is not really possible because you can't find another six front row players who aren't going to be deemed close contacts, because surely if all the front row players that travel this weekend were close contacts, all of the front row players at their entire club are close contacts as well. So it's just a complete mess and it's really, really frustrating to see it happen all over again, because I think it's probably something we thought we'd left behind us after the mess of the pool stages.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, there's frustration on everyone's part, but it seems to be something that, as you said, it is just following kind of Toulon and the French sides around. You know, they didn't catch a break, obviously, with everything that went on during the Six Nations and the reschedule there and people breaking the bubble. And then in particular, you just question if the EPCR, did they ask the question of was it, did they know it was a front row player on Wednesday, or did they just know it was a positive case?
I would imagine though they would have been given the, you know, the name and position of the player, and they said in their statement as well that they began their contact tracing on Wednesday when they were informed of the positive.
Yeah, so like, you know, they know then in terms of the close contact situation then, why leave it so late in the day? And there's obviously a cost attached to everyone, and from a club president's perspective, that must be very frustrating for him that they knew the ins and outs and the details, but then letting them, you know, the cost associated to travel, particularly how difficult it is, the travel associated and all the logistics that have to go into that from a COVID perspective now, you know, there's just a lot of wasted time and a lot of money wasted on it too, that for what? And it's interesting, I know there thing that I picked up on the statement from the EPCR was that, you know, they're putting together a match resolution committee. But, you know, before, you know, my understanding was under the regulations, if someone wasn't able to field a team or there was an issue with COVID, then the other team was given a walkover. So, you know, they obviously feel that this has to be, there has to be some resolution by a match resolution committee. And that's to be convened as soon as it's practical, so to determine the outcome of the fixture. So yeah, it's just a mess. And like, look, it's Easter Friday, it's a nice day. I saw Brian O'Driscoll on TV was saying that he hasn't seen the RDS in as good a shape. it's a nice evening. You're going to, you know, two sides that like to play, and you know, the potential for it to be, you know, as the competition goes on, someone like Sergio Parise, it's his potential last involvement in the European Cup. But he's saying he might go on another year. So, yeah, there's a load of little stories attached to it. But, you know, if Leinster do go on and it's deemed a walkover, they'd be frustrated too. They obviously, everyone, there's a competitor in each and every one of them, and they want to win and know that they've won the right to be in the quarterfinal. But, you know, they're coming off the back of a very physical battle against Munster last week in a final. So does it suit them? Gary Ringrose will be back, probably James Ryan come back into contention. That makes them stronger. Everyone has a bit more, a bit extra time to lead into the quarterfinal. But, you know, it's not a nice way to get into the quarterfinal if it does happen that way.
No, it's certainly not. And I think we're going to hear so much of it as well over the next few days, even after the EPC or confirm what is or isn't happening with that fixture. But yeah, I will move on. Munster and Toulouse tomorrow afternoon. Fingers crossed we are going to have that game as well on Off the Ball. Myself and Keith Wood will be at Thomond Park, 3 o'clock kickoff. Team news came in this afternoon. 3 changes from Munster after the Pro 14 final defeat. Dave Kilcoyne, Stephen Archer come in for James Cronin and John Ryan. The big one though, Peter O'Mahony hasn't recovered from that bad laceration on his leg which he got last week. So Jack O'Donoghue comes in to start. Finian Witcherly is back on the bench. Johnny, after last week's game, Munster had their press conference a couple of days ago. I asked Stephen Larkham at that if Munster have a point to prove this week. Now, he said the only point they have to prove is to themselves rather than anyone else. Am I being a bit cynical? Like, I don't think that's the case. I think they have a point to prove to a lot more people aside from their own squad and just themselves.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, there was a lot of talk about the previous week about they've closed the gap and how close they've been to Leinster over, and this was their day. They'd have as close to a full team. I know Joey Carberry's just back and he's only kind of getting up to match fitness, but they had as close to a full team, which previously in previous years they haven't had. So there was a lot of hope and a lot of, I suppose, confidence that they were going to put in a performance and it just wasn't there. You always felt, you know, watching it last weekend, you always felt that Leinster were on top. They weren't executing, but they still, you know, they were creating, where Munster were kind of, you know, just kind of living off their scraps. And then I felt at halftime that if Leinster had stuck a couple of those opportunities, particularly that one down the, you know, those two opportunities down the right-hand side for Larmer, where, Lachlan, the passes from Lachlan don't go to hand, there could have been a very different complexion at half time. So I think so. It's interesting to see that they've gone a kind of, you know, a 5-2 split on the bench, probably given the, you know, the size of the Toulouse team. But I think I would agree that they owe more than themselves a performance. And that's going to be difficult. You know, I've been in dressing rooms, you know, when we lost to, Ulster and Thomond Park in that quarter final, when we got through the group stages my second year back, you know, there is, you know, losing in Europe is the, you know, I would say the equivalent of losing to Leinster, given the rivalry and the history that's attached to it. It takes you quite a while to get over that. And that's because those games are so important to Munster. It's what they been built on of the province, and that was something for me that I kind of didn't realize how big it was, because of in the Premiership, you know, the Premiership is such a war of attrition that it's week on week on week on week, and you have to go away, you have to perform, you have to grind out, you know, wins over in, you know, up in Newcastle on a snowy Friday night when all your internationals are away, and they're really difficult. You know, it's such a big competition. And when I came back, I felt that there was a much bigger gap between domestic and Europe. But the game, particularly the game that stands out in my mind, my first involvement in the Munster-Leinster game, was that was intense. And as as violent a game that I'd ever been involved in, and it was such a step up from normal Pro 14 to this game, and then on to Europe, and it takes a while to get over those things. But you know, this week it has to be put to bed early. And you know, I read some stuff during the week. They said, you know, some players are still feeling a bit down about it. But you can't go into Toulouse like that. You have to basically, you know, okay, it's done. It's disappointing. It's disappointing, but we're back on the pitch. You review it. You have to take it as hard as it is going to be for them to take. But you have to get your head in the game, because Toulouse are coming to play, and they're a proper side. They're a real, really good side. They've got quality all across their team. And you know, Toulouse's history in this competition is like no other, I would say. They've been there from the very start and they've been competing. So it's going to be a difficult one for 4 months from tomorrow.
What would your gut be telling you?
I think for me, to be honest, you'll know in 10 minutes. It a lot depends on the start. You know, if they can get into the game, you know, get on the scoreboard and show real intent early, I think that gives them an opportunity. If they let Toulouse, get ahead or get a foothold in the game or stick with them, then I think it might be a tough afternoon for them. And tomorrow, you know, it's one of those days that you just love a crowd there. Saturday afternoons against someone like Toulouse and Thomond Park, it's a very, very special place. The lads have to manage that atmosphere themselves. They have to try and intimidate and use their energy to get on top of Toulouse early and really drive things on. It would positive if they have positive plays, they have, you know, a positive win defensively, they need to G everyone up and keep that level of energy. So thinking about last weekend, that just, you know, that can't be a case. Everyone needs to be over it and done, and they need to go out with the belief that, you know, they're going to put Toulouse to the sword tomorrow. So it's going to be interesting to see, but it is going to be tough coming off the back. But Munster historically have been, you know, coming off the back of a loss have been have been very, very dangerous. But you read Ronan O'Gara's piece, in the Examiner and different things that have been said, it's time for this team and this bunch to decide for themselves where they go. And they have to put in the performance. They have to decide that and take the shackles off a bit and play. And they can't go into a game thinking that they're going to win by trying to pressure a team, by winning an aerial battle, by playing a pressure game. They have to go out and try and win it, not just let the scoreboard tick away, you know, build pressure, get a penalty here, go three. You know, they have to try and play a bit like they have done throughout the season. But when it comes historically over the last three years, when they get to these big knockout games in bowl competitions or finals, it's like they turn conservative and they go back to their pressure game. And, you know, unfortunately, it's shown and results shown they're not good enough for that. So they have to go try and win it and try and do something, throw that offload maybe, play that power play. And that's going to be very, very important tomorrow.
How much of that tone setting needs to come early on from the experienced internationals, lads like CJ Stander, Conor Murray, Dave Kilcoyne, even Keith Earls? I know Peter O'Mahony is obviously missing, but there's a big core of experienced international players there who I think a lot of people would have said were very quiet last week, even highlighting the fact that Gavin Coombs, you know, the raw, inexperienced player, was the one that seemed to be leading from the front last week.
Yeah, but like, he can do that again. He has no baggage here at all. And he can be one of those. He stood up last week. What you need is someone to get on his coattails and try and run that offload line and get on. You know. Sometimes younger guys just have to stand up. And I think that's why there is a lot of frustration, particularly in the new signing, that guys like that might potentially miss out for a year. why not give them the opportunity? Let them drive on here and let them create what they believe Munster is. Because for this group, Munster might not be to them what it was when I was there, or what, you know, the side of the 2000s, what it was for them. Things change. You know, teams evolve, your thought process and your meaning attached to what your club is, that has to evolve and that has to change. And I think, you know, someone like Coombs can really drive that forward. Jack O'Donoghue is someone that has been knocking on the door, and opportunities like this, he's been capped. I think he's someone that is a leader. You know, he's been a leader of that younger cohort of that group for a long time now. But yeah, the older boys do need to step up as well. I think Joey Carberry's lungs will probably be in a much better position than they were last week. He looked pretty gassed early on, and that's just because he's been out for so long. So it is very difficult for him to come in and be up to speed of such a big game like last week. But hopefully that time that he, you know, last week's game time will really have him driving forward. But I agree, but with you, and I'm probably answering in a long-winded way, that yeah, the senior boys need to stand up and do something. But someone like Coombs can be the he can be the creator of that. And that was what disappointed me. See him run over a couple of people last week, have a couple of positive carries. You know, someone needs to get up, get around the corner next time and show that they can do that as well.
In a quick word, who do you think is going to win?
I think it's going to be difficult for them. Again, look, I'll say head over heart, but you just, I just think that to lose, just have probably too much quality. I know they're missing a few people, but you look at, you know, someone like Medar, the experience they have with Colby, himself and Colby in the back three, Dupan, you know, Entomac is, I think he's just a class operator. You look at the size they have, and then you have the bench of someone like Tacori, the size and the experience of him coming off the bench. That's probably why they have gone 6-2 on the bench, Munster. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see a performance, and whatever way the that's the big thing for me. See a performance tomorrow, and the old phrase, the score looks after itself at the end of the day. But I just think no crowd. It just seems to be tipping in Toulouse's favour.
All right. Well, Johnny, listen, thanks a million for joining us this evening. And I'm sorry I had to give you that bad news earlier on, but hopefully we'll get you to a game soon enough.
Yeah, hopefully I can be first sub somewhere along the line.
Johnny Murphy, thanks a million for joining us. So that is tomorrow afternoon, 3:00, Munster against Toulouse at Thomond Park. I'll be on commentary alongside Keith Wood. Full commentary of that game, 3:00 on tomorrow afternoon's Off the Ball. That is it for our rugby section here. Crappy quiz coming up next.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.